Hello, sir.
G'day, mate. How you going?
I'm doing good, thanks. How are you?
All right. What are you up to?
Well, funnily enough, I'm out sort of, well, I don't know if it's your neck of the woods, but I'm actually out in Beaconsfield at my sister's place.
Oh, well, I'm in Mulgrave, not too far.
No, I'm out that side.
Yeah, right, right.
Back in the hood. Yeah, we've just got a couple of things going on at the house today. So we said, hey, can we come and bring our dogs to run around your yard for a few hours? So, yeah, just hanging out and waiting for you to call.
How have all the gigs been going? They look pretty wild.
The Red Hot Summer ones.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was great. I mean, it was as good as probably I could expect. You know, getting up there and playing a bunch of new songs for 40 minutes, people having to stay in their seats, COVID restrictions and all that sort of stuff. It was fucking great. I mean, the audience was just amazing. You know, it was big crowds again, which was nice. And it's just a rad tour to be a part of. Everyone's just really nice, you know. So fucking lucky to have gotten it before I've even got the record out.
Yeah.
I managed to get on a tour like that. So, yeah. Pretty thankful.
It's not a bad... Well, you've got a little bit of heritage behind you, mate. You're a fairly safe bet.
Well, I do, but that's not... You know, that's a different thing, is the living end. Like, Dwayne, who runs Red Hot Summer, he hadn't heard any tracks or anything. He just said, okay, you know, I'm happy to put you on... If you're launching this solo career, I'll put you on first. Not knowing if it would be just me or doing CLE stuff or me with a band or what. I mean, he had no idea at that point, but he just took a punt and he loved it. And so... Yeah, especially with a tour like that where it's really about bands getting up and playing the hits kind of thing to that sort of audience. I just got up and played a bunch of new songs and I didn't get booed off one.
So it was a warm reception?
It was a warm reception.
Very
it's,
good.
It's a good tour to be a part of. And so we do the next leg in October, November, I think. And then we do the makeup shows from last year next January.
Oh,
which
okay.
Is back with the Living End again. So
yeah,
crazy.
Nice. Those photos look like Scar had an incredible time being your roadie.
Oh my God. She did. She came crashing back down to earth hard on that Monday morning, getting ready for school. And it's, you know, I mean, I know what it's like coming off tour, and you sort of, you know, you live on the bus for 6 weeks, and you know, you live a sort of false. It's a false sense of reality, really, isn't it? You know, you walk into your office essentially, and there's a big tub of beer, and then there's a crowd of people who cheer at you. And and then you get home and you're sitting in your lounge room and you looking around going, oh, okay, what the fuck do I do now?
Where are all my adoring fans?
Exactly, exactly. And this is why I think there's so many casualties in this industry, isn't there? Because people just don't cope with the roller coaster.
Well, especially over the last year, have you found yourself coping?
Well, I've been all right, you know, because when we moved back from the States, Victoria went into that lockdown, but we just moved into a place, like we bought somewhere and we were really lucky to get it. And then we went into that crazy kind of lockdown period. And I basically just built a little sort of studio in my garage and ended up writing, you know, half of this solo record. And I probably three of the best songs came from that period, which wouldn't have happened. So... I can't complain about that. And also just being home to spend time with my kids. I haven't really had that amount of time with them ever. I've always been away. So I didn't hate it, but I kind of got to a point where I was like, all right, I've had enough now. We need to get some gigs on the board here.
Hey, I ask everyone who's usually out on the road, during the lockdown, did you find yourself taking any other... like hobbies, or did you find that you were good at anything apart from music?
Well, I did remind myself of the fact that I'm pretty handy on the table tennis table.
Uh-huh.
We, although we don't have a table tennis table, but we have one of those nets that you sort of, you know, you move all everything off the dining table and you put the net on and off you go. And so we had some sort of ripper table tennis tournaments. And I'm pretty good at the top hand spin. So that between writing my record and a bit of ping pong, that was pretty much all I did. Oh, I got my motorbike license.
Oh, I did see that. Yeah,
yeah. That's something that didn't really come from lockdown, but it is something that I've managed. It's been become a bit of a hobby, I suppose.
Nothing screams midlife crisis more than a man buying a motorbike.
Well, yeah, exactly. You know, I made a record in Nashville. I bought a motorbike. There's a few extra tattoos. Yeah. So it's all falling into line just perfect.
It is, absolutely. now, we've got to talk about, of course, Blues Fest is why I'm supposed to be chatting to you, because finally, this is just an amazing announcement. I was really worried that it wasn't going to go ahead this year at all. You know, getting cancelled a day out, frustrating for fans, but absolutely heartbreaking for you blokes playing on the bill. One day out was just, you know, from one case, to me, was just an absurdity and crushing when you see all these sporting events going ahead willy-nilly. Yep. And what was it like from your side?
Well, it was incredibly frustrating because, you know, our gear was already in a truck on its way up there. So, you know, and our crew were basically already in the throes of getting everything organized, and they were driving the gear up and all that. So, but it was frustrating. But I think it wasn't so bad for us because we're just the band. But I think it was devastating for all the crews and the food trucks and the people of Byron Bay that were getting ready to open up and had ordered all that extra kind of, you know, produce and whatever they needed to kind of look after 15,000 people that all of a sudden just fell in a heap. So I felt really bad for them. My fingers were crossed that it would be rescheduled, and thankfully it has. But I think it was just a case of they probably didn't have any choice in the end. It had to get pulled, or else it would have been, you know, everyone would have pointed their finger at the music industry if there had been a breakout. And, you know, we can't sort of have that happening. It's hard enough to get back on our feet at the moment. But, yeah, one day out was that was a pretty tough pill to swallow. It was like, God, we got so close.
Yeah, and that's the frustrating thing. And I think everyone is in agreement that you know, the music industry in Australia was taken away from us overnight, and then it seems to be the last thing that's coming back, despite the fact that whenever there's a tragedy, whenever there's people in need, the music industry here are the first to rally together to raise money or, you know, whatever it might be, awareness. And I don't understand why the government isn't putting back into the industry that gives so much.
I'm a bit dumbfounded by it all too, and I think there's it just doesn't seem to be. It's not as important in this country as I suppose sport is. You know, that's fair enough. You know, it's an outdoor nation, and you know, sporting events are sort of paramount, I guess. But I really felt for all of the behind the scenes people, the crew and stuff that really you know, work crazy hours and go above and beyond to make sure that the show goes ahead, to make sure when people come to the venue everything's organized. They're the ones that you really feel for. Us guys in bands, you know what I mean, there are some bands obviously that haven't fared so well. The Living End has, we've managed to keep our head above water at least up until now. You know, I mean, we can't continue to sort of not have any work. It's a little concerning, but I really feel for all the crews and backline people who, you know, really their livelihood.
Yeah, this lineup, I mean, the flip side of this pandemic is the lineup for Blues Fest is all Australian. And, man, if anyone is not excited about this lineup, there's something wrong with them. The talent is so deep on this. I'm just scrolling through it, and you see names like Casey Chambers, The Angels, Ian Moss, Kate Sobrano, Pete Murray, you know, Paul Kelly, Tash Sultana, Jimmy Barnes, Xavier Rudd, John Butler. It is just, this is the who's who. And, you know, with your mate Jimmy there, I dare say that you might sneak out there with him at some stage.
Well, I probably will. I think it'd be rude not to. If we're generally in the same building, two things end up happening. We either drink whiskey together or we play music together. So there's a fair chance both will probably be achieved over that weekend. But yeah, it's an amazing roster, isn't it? And it's just a great reminder of just the world-class talent that we have here. And this is, we've got to look at the silver linings, and I suppose the fact that it's an all-Australian lineup, is a great reminder to everyone that we just, you know, it's nice to have the overseas people here as well, but we don't necessarily need it.
No.
So, and this is great. It's just it's a great opportunity for it to be all Australian artists and all Australian crew, and just to really celebrate what we have here, our own infrastructure.
Anyone who doesn't want to get excited about seeing Midnight Oil play, I don't want to know them.
Yeah. Oh, man, they're just frightening, aren't they? They're frighteningly good.
Yeah. Still,
we did some shows in the US and also in Australia with them when they reformed a couple of years ago. And the first show we did, I think, was it was in New York, and it was just blistering, you know. And it was really amazing to watch, because you don't know, you know, with these bands who have been around quite a long time, you don't know whether they're going to sort of let their guard down a little bit and just sort of ease into it. But the Oils just came out and blew the roof off the joint. It was just so inspirational.
I don't think they know how to do it any differently.
Well, they don't, and that's the thing. Their music, it works if it's all, I mean, like any band, really, I suppose, but you're not putting 100%, it doesn't kind of work. But someone like James Taylor, I guess, can come out there and be kind of, you know, cool and mellow and croony. With the Oils, it has to be 1,000%, or it doesn't, you know, and the energy has to be there, or the songs don't sound the same if they're not, you know, there's not buckets of sweat.
Mm. Now tell me about your solo album. Who have you got on the roster? Who's playing with you? Where did you find this band? And what are we expecting?
Well, the album and the band are two different things. I recorded the album initially in Nashville with a bunch of guys from there, a bunch of young blokes who are very well versed in sort of old Nashville, but play with a current kind of twist. Mm-hmm. A contemporary kind of feel to it. And so I did a full album there, of which I then scrapped half of it and just kept I think, six songs from there. I did another three or four in LA when I was still living there with a guy called Justin Stanley, who is pretty well-known sort of producer and amazing player. And then I did another three or four songs back here in Australia when, as I said, when we went into lockdown. And, I'm just so excited about it. I'm sort of just trying to get the release and everything sorted now. But it's a songwriting record. It's all about the songs and about my singing, as opposed to, you know, the sort of more energetic kind of guitar angle, I suppose, mm-hmm. that The Living End sort of has. So there's a few acoustic songs on there. It's very piano-based. A lot of Tom Petty kind of Springsteen-esque kind of influences on there, I suppose. A little bit of Americana, but kind of, I don't know, it's very unique, and it's something that I've wanted to do for a long time, and I just can't wait for people to hear it.
Awesome. How long have you been sitting on a few of these songs? In Nashville, or have you been sitting on these songs for a long time?
No, I started writing the ones that were recorded in Nashville in about 2015, 16. So going back quite a way, I've dabbled with this thing for a long time, and I've done some recordings, and then I've scrapped them, and then I've done, you know, other recordings, and I just felt like I just didn't quite have the right collection of songs, and until sort of, you know, a few months ago, and I've basically culled it down to these 10 songs that, it just sounds like an album. Like, it's a record, and it's got diversity, and it's got like three or four just acoustic kind of songs on there that I'm singing on. And then a few, as I said, that have like the full band and pedal steel and piano and all sorts of stuff going on. And the band that I have here is just basically old friends, really. I've got Shan, who was in Dallas Crane, Mark and Louis from Jet, and a guy called Andre Warhurst, who was in Silver Night Drive and Manic Suede and a bit of a Melbourne guitar legend.
Yeah.
So they've come on as my band, and it's just been amazing to hear the record come to life, because I basically recorded a lot of the album myself. So it's different when you try and then get people to sort of play the record. We have to sort of approach it slightly differently.
You have to say to them, "That's not right. Do it again," like a diva.
Well, I did a little bit, yeah. there was a few times where I had to sort of, you know, pull them up and say, no, 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 it's not exactly that way. And you sort of don't know whether to do that or not. But for me, it was very, very important. I pieced this album together very meticulously. Mm. And there's no sort of fat on there. It's all the parts are there for a reason. So, yeah, it's very important initially that it sounds as close to the record as we can get it.
Yeah, nice. And skipping away from that, TLE, you know, you've got your Blues Fest shows, but then also, as you said, the makeup shows for Red Hot Summer happening next year. What else? Is there anything in the can with you guys? I know you kind of step away from each other when there's not much going on, so you don't kill each other. Has there been any inklings of something new, or are you just focused on the solo stuff?
No, there is new stuff. We were about to go into the studio last February, I think.
Right.
We were on the Red Hot Summer tour in 2020, and then obviously got shut down. But we were going to go into the studio then, because we had, I think, 5 songs ready to go, and we thought we might just go in and do an EP or just do a recording to begin with and just see what happened with it. And that never happened, because I ended up sort of taking off back to Los Angeles to figure out where I was going in life, mm-hmm. like the rest of the world, what we were going to do. So those songs are still hanging around, but the idea, I think, is to jump into the studio at some point and put them down, because they were really good. We were really excited about it. It's just super energetic, really simple, just rocking songs, you know, just not any particular sort of direction or style, but just really ballsy, straight up rock and roll songs. So, you know, I know the other guys are chomping at the bit to get back in there. So now that everything's opening up, hopefully we'll do it soon.
Oh, that'd be great. All right, mate. Well, I'll let you get back to your sister's backyard and the dogs running around. It's always always nice to catch up with you, though. And hopefully we can have a beer soon or whiskey or whatever it might be, and just talk shit.
Yeah, man. That'd be great. That'd be great. And I'll see you at Blues Fest.
Well, at Blues Fest or at Red Hot Summer, one of the two.
Yeah, sounds good.
All right, mate. You take care, and I'll talk to you soon.
All right. Thanks, boss.